Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. I want to thank you all for showing up there in the chat room and wherever you are this morning listening to this broadcast. Okay, the world has gone crazy, and I noticed probably some of you noticed that especially those people at YouTube that are at my Prophecy Reality channel and find out that I received a strike there for my last program on last Wednesday. Yeah. They did not like what I had to say. So I switched to another YouTube channel for today, one I haven't used in years, the one with my name on it. It's Nicholas Arthur. So anyway, hopefully those people over at YouTube will find their way to where I'm at. But I'm thinking Rumble or going live on something other than YouTube and just leaving YouTube behind and just use them for storage for the programs that are there already and leave it at that because you get three strikes, they kill your channel. So years worth of stuff goes down and they'll probably take it all off eventually anyway. So I should be making plans to move everything over. Anyway, that's what's going on behind the scenes here this morning, why there's a little bit of a rush and a little bit of stumble getting the broadcast started. But hey, we've come to expect this, and that's the way things are today. Okay, let's see. We have news today, and that's what I need to get to. You know, usually I spend the first 20 or so minutes immediately before the broadcast, preparing for the broadcast instead of fixing problems that have cropped up and ironing out details because YouTube has gave me a strike and I can't use the same channel. And I had to switch browsers too, where I'm operating from, because I don't want to use Chrome because it belongs to YouTube. Google, they have too much control. They really need to be broken up like a lot of these other monopolies we have out here. Yeah, so hopefully that'll work. But anyway, let's move on to some news. If you got any news items or comments or questions, please come over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com or .net. Click on the chat button there and join the conversation. Put your name in where it says you if you've never been there before. And join the chat room. It's a little different, but you get used to it. It's a rather nice chat room. Anyway, let's see what we got here. Well, first I have this here. 10 signs that the war in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset. See, that's the problem. Is I don't know. Does YouTube allow you to talk about the Ukraine war? I mean, I thought the pandemic was over. And I could say whatever I wanted last week on YouTube. And I did. I got, you know, carried away a little bit. Of course, they gave me a strike. Somebody's still looking at every word I'm saying because the less than 200 people that watch my broadcast might get influenced the wrong way, right? On YouTube. They're really worried about me over there. Yeah. Anyway. So. Anyway, this war in Ukraine, let's get to that, even though it's a huge distraction from what is important. That's what we talked about last week. And what David Knight is still talking about. Kudos to David Knight because he's not giving up on it, though most people are starting to fall asleep. It's just amazing how much control the controllers have over the minds of people and how easily they forget and even go along with the next PSYOP, which is this Ukrainian war. That's the next PSYOP because the other PSYOP was starting to unravel. And the only way they could save it was to get people to stop looking at it, which it seems they did. Yeah. Except for a few people. So, I think it's important, but let's look at it a different way. And that's why I like this article in Off Guardian, 10 signs the war in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset, because it's all part of the Great Reset. You know, because if the narrative falls apart, then, you know, what's going to happen to their great reset? Even if they get their great reset, it's going to be a great, great, huge failure, because these things never work. These people, you know, they're much less intelligent than they think they are. They think they can run the whole show like as if they were God or something, but things didn't get the way they were, you know, by accident or by the plan of other great men. Things unfolded in history as they did, because it was very complex, and it was out of the control of any one or any group of very intelligent, or at least very people who thought they were very intelligent. This wasn't human designed, what we have in this world today, that they want to tear down and replace with something that they design, because they think they have a better plan, you know. But they probably see about, they probably have a grasp of about, 100 parts of a million part plan and scheme that is in motion. Not really a scheme, but that which is in motion has so many parts that they can't even grasp them all. But they have deceived themselves into thinking that they can control everything, and it will be an utter failure if they get their way. And perhaps, you know, we're in for an utter failure. Yeah, that's it. You know, and their utter failure will be God's judgment on earth to allow these very egotistical, prideful men to actually have control and let them undo everything that has been done and try to reform the world in their own image, which is very, very lacking in sight. What they need to see, they don't see enough to have the control that they think that they can have control of. And it will only be disaster. That's it. And that disaster will hurt a lot of people. And that will be judgment on the wicked, and it will be tribulation for the righteous. But the righteous have hope, whereas the wicked have no hope, unless they repent and turn to Jesus. That's how it works. Anyway, let's look at these 10 signs the war in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset. See what he says here. Welcome to the second phase of the Great Reset. War. Oh boy, I'm going to have to delete this video off of YouTube right away. And, I can put it back up there after I edit it a little bit, but if I get people to come to my channel or to hear the word of God and I can reach the elect, you know, I'll keep fishing in their pond as much and as far as I'm able to do. Let's see. While the pandemic acclimatized the world to lockdowns, normalized the acceptance of experimental medications, precipitated the greatest transfer of wealth to corporations by decimating SMEs, and I don't know what an SME is. It's like small businesses, or it's an SME. You know, I hate that when someone writes an article and right away they throw in something like this. You think the first occurrence of an acronym that they use that they should put in parentheses if they're going to keep using this acronym, parentheses, what it refers to. What's an SME? Small, medium, enterprises? I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea what it, by decimating, but I know what they decimated, small businesses and the middle class, and adjusted the muscle memory of the workforce operations in preparation for a cybernetic future. An additional vector was required to accelerate the economic collapse before nations can build back better, children. Every time I just heard that the first time, build back better. I think, what do these people think they're speaking to, kindergartners, you know? Build back better. We're going to build back better. Yes, we don't want to make America great or make America great again. Yeah, we can't have that. We got to build back better. Of course, when you build back better, that means that we're going to tear everything down first. And that's the thing. You know, it's kind of like the child with the toy that wants to know, a complicated toy that wants to tear it apart to see how, what makes it tick. And that's what these people, these Great Reset Davos crowd is like. They're like children with a toy, and they're going to tear it down, but they're not going to be able to get it back together. No, I'm sorry. But they think they can do it, but they won't be able to do it because it won't go back together the way they plan it, because it doesn't work that way. It works the way it worked. And when you got something works, you know what they say, you know what they say about that. Yeah. So I present below several ways in which the current conflict between Russia and Ukraine is the next catalyst for the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Agenda, facilitated by an interconnected web of global stakeholders and a diffuse network of private, public, private partnerships. One, the war between Russia and Ukraine is already causing unprecedented disruption to global supply chains, exacerbating fuel shortages and inducing chronic levels of inflation. I don't know. That's a lot of, speculation. I think that just what the pretender in chief did in his first couple weeks when he got into office, I think that really killed our fuel our fuel supply here in America, because until he took office, we were self-sufficient, and now we aren't suddenly, and prices are sky high. I think that's really part of the same plan. Yeah. So don't believe everything you hear, whether just because it comes from one side of the fence or the other, but we have unprecedented disruption to global supply chains. And we do have, I don't know about fuel shortages, but we do have rising fuel prices. And if anything, people are buying a lot less fuel now simply because they can't afford it. Yeah. You know, when the price of fuel triples, you're not going to be doing any leisure driving, or you're going to do a lot less of it. Okay. So, stagflation is another word. Real inflation is what? You know, they're saying 15%, but it's more like 30% as far as I can tell, because we're not excluding anything here. If we include everything, which is the real world, because everyone has to buy everything they need, you can't exclude housing or fuel or whatever these games they play to make the numbers sound better, so you'll go down and vote for Joe Biden again. Just like you did last time, remember? Oh, that's right. You didn't vote for Joe Biden. Sorry. I'm getting carried away there a little bit. So, yeah. In years ahead, the combination of subpar growth and runaway inflation will force a global economic underclass to micro-work contracts and low-wage jobs in an emergency gig economy. Well, this is a lot of speculation, but yeah, I think he's got some of the pieces here. Skipping ahead. Therefore, the World Economic Forum's ominous prediction that we will own nothing and be happy by 2030 seems to be unfolding with horrifying rapidity. So that means that people who do own something, they're going to have to come and take it away from them. But right now, if they can just make it so you can't afford anything, that they'll just move slowly into a world where people coming in the next generations can't afford to buy anything or own anything. And then, you know, the question is, well, who's going to own all this stuff? If you will own nothing and somehow be happy, I think it's really you all owe nothing and they will be happy. Yeah. What? Cause they're going to give you UBI so you can afford to rent from them. Huh. Yeah. But see, wealth is produced by labor. You know, it is. Wealth is produced by labor. And the earth is just potential wealth everywhere. All the natural resources, but without labor. So who's going to produce all this wealth to pay all this rent on all the things that you don't own? And what about the people that do own stuff? They just figure they're setting it up so eventually nobody will be able to afford to own anything. Yeah, except the chosen few. Okay. The war's economic fallout will lead to dramatic downsizing of the global workforce, as if that hasn't been done enough already and isn't continuing to move on. You know, the downsizing of the population continues. The architects of the Great Reset have anticipated this trend for a number of years and will exploit this economic turbulence by propelling the role of disruptive technologies to meet global challenges and fundamentally alter traditional business patterns to keep pace with rapid changes in technology. You know, it's problematic. Don't they need a workforce to make all these machines? And then you're going to need another type of workforce to maintain all the robots and stuff. You can see they got a picture of robots here, and the page we're reading from. Yeah, the robots are making something. I can't tell what it is, but who's going to make the robots and who's going to maintain the robots? So that's the kind of job you're going to want to get into. One of those people that maintain the robots that are doing all the work. Yeah. And that's another reason why they want to, you know, reduce the population, because, you know, you don't need too many worthless eaters on EBT or whatever they call it. Yeah, the free money welfare system. Yeah. But they'll try to keep them happy so that, you know, like Bloomberg, is that the guy who said that? Yeah, that they don't come after us with guillotines, right? You got to keep them pacified and happy. So the architects of the Great Reset have anticipated this trend for a number of years and will exploit this economic turbulence by propelling the role of disruptive technologies. Yes, to keep pace with rapid changes in technology, like the pandemic, disaster preparedness in the age of conflict will rest significantly on the willingness to embrace specific technological innovations in the public and private spheres so that future generations can supply the labor demands of the Great Reset. You will owe nothing and you will be happy supplying labor for the demands of the Great Reset. You get it? Are you happy yet? A reoccurring theme in Klaus Schwab's Shaping the Future of the Fourth Industrial Revolution is that groundbreaking technological and scientific innovations will no longer be relegated to the physical world around us, but become extensions of ourselves. Yeah, we see how that pipe dream's working out. Yeah. He emphasized the primacy of emerging technologies in a next-generation workforce and highlights the urgency to push ahead with plans to digitize several aspects of the global labor force through scalable technology-based solutions. This sounds like a lot of hyperbole to me, but it must make sense to them. Those spearheading the Great Reset seek to manage geopolitical risk by creating new markets which revolve around digital innovations, e-strategies, translucent telepresence labor, artificial intelligence, robotics, nanotechnology, and the Internet of Things, and the Internet of Bodies. And when they say the Internet of Bodies, they mean you. Yeah. They are wiring you to be connected to the internet. That's their part of the Great Reset. But I don't think it's going to work, because you know what? They are not God and they don't know what the outcome will be. They're guessing it'll be good for them, but I'm pretty sure that it's not going to be good for anybody, including them. Oh, if only they had eyes to see. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. We're looking at this article, 10 Signs the War in Ukraine is Part of the Great Reset. And the third sign is, the war has significantly reduced Europe's reliance on the Russian energy sector. The war. Yes, the war. And that's what it's all about. See, we had the same war here in America. And look how much we've... the war in America has significantly reduced America's reliance on American oil or energy sector. Yeah, we've had to go elsewhere and supposed to innovate and now plug our cars into the grid, which is run on oil primarily or coal or whatever. So the war is really, it's a worldwide, the Great Reset is a war itself. It's a war against humanity. That's what it is a war against. It's a war on humanity to reduce the population of the earth down to a manageable goal, which I believe they really want it down to about 500,000. Yeah, they think that, you know, because, you know, I don't know how many of them, they think that they just want enough people as a workforce for the things that are necessary that the machines can't do in their perfect world. But see, what they don't realize, they really don't realize, to have everything that we have today, we really need the whole world present to make it work, because that's what was present to make things work the way they are working. Yeah. So these people are so self-deceived that they really don't see that they are doing the bidding of their master, Satan, who wants them destroyed as well as all the people that he has them deceived into believing it's necessary to destroy. And that's what we're talking about last week, the destroyers of the earth. Yeah, I got a strike for that in my YouTube channel for that program last week. And, it's strike worthy, but you know, why they would strike a program that less than 200 people even look at, I don't know, that they waste their time on me. Yeah. Okay. Number four. Let's skip ahead to number four here. Food shortages created by the war will offer a major boon. And you know, it's really the food shortages are, yeah, the war may contribute to food shortages, but they're not the cause. So they weren't created by the war. The war just began. And yes, you know, Ukraine has a lot of wheat that they grow, but compared to, what we grow in the United States, it shouldn't even bother us here. But we have global markets. So if the wheat goes up in one place, then it affects the markets everywhere. Yeah, this global, what a wonder that we live in a global world. I would rather live in a disconnected world like we had, 50 or 100 years ago for the most part, where, something happened on one side of the world, it'd take at least a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks or a month, to find out about it on the other side of the world. And that was wonderful. There was no lockstep going on then. Yeah, it took a while for them to move in lockstep. You can lock the whole world. So that's what's really the food shortages are all about, is the lockstep, their ability to push a scenario over the whole world at the same time. Via the lockdowns and such, which it seems that, Google does not want to let go of for some reason. They gave me a strike last week and deleted my program shows you that they have no plan on letting go of what they began 2 years ago. They have no plan whatsoever on letting go of it. They're just backing off because the resistance was becoming too noticeable for them. So they had to change the story, and that's what they did. And that's what's really going on, and how it's part of the Great Reset, this whole thing going on over there in the Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine are both bread baskets of the world, and critical shortages in grains, fertilizers, vegetables, and essential foodstuffs will catapult. But see, the thing is, Russia would still love to sell everything they have to everybody over most of the world. Yeah. The food didn't go away. It's still there. I mean, yeah, it's just the war didn't decimate it all or destroy it all. It's just not being shipped. Okay, but they don't need to ship any in because they already have it. So, yeah, you gotta think about this stuff. Number five, Russia's exclusion from SWIFT, the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, foreshadows an economic reset, which will generate precisely the kind of blowback necessary for corralling large swaths of the global population into a technocratic control grid. Well, yeah, that's the goal. Yeah. And they've been doing that anyway. Yeah. This is just one more step in it. But like I said, these people, the Great Reset crowd, they're like the child with the toy. That they're breaking, and they think they're going to build it back better, but they have no idea how to do it. And they know that they can't, but they've just figured somehow that if they control people that will build it back after it's broken, that it will be better. But they have no idea, because they have no foresight. Or very little foresight. Unfortunately, they have more foresight than most people because they've been scheming and planning for hundreds of years just to get as far as they have got. And like I said, none of it's been good. It's a disaster for all of us, but they don't care, because they have billions and billions of dollars and power and control. And they're not worried about the price of gas or food. But, yeah, the only thing they don't worry about is the very thing that they should be worried about. That's their soul. Yeah. They don't worry about the condition of their soul. And they don't worry about eternity. Yeah. Because I guess they don't believe. Yeah, they're unbelievers and they have no hope. How sad for them. Okay, so that's the SWIFT thing. So they're tearing down the economy. Okay, number six. This war marks a major inflection point in the globalist aspiration for a new international rules-based order anchored in Eurasia. Huh. As the father of geopolitics, Halford Mackinder, opined over a century ago, the rise of every global hegemon in the past 500 years has been possible because of dominance over Eurasia. Similarly, their decline has been associated with losing control over that pivotal landmass, so Europe and Asia combined. And that's the old world. That's it. But that's where the mass of the people are on the planet. We're just kind of a minority over here on the other side of the planet, in the Americas, in the New World. Yeah. And, the Antichrist and his shadow government, they pretty much got total control everywhere. And I don't know, I think that they have rogue elements, like they had in Donald Trump, and I believe they have in Putin. He's somewhat rogue, but still they have plenty of control in this country. That shadow government, they have their way of working in and getting everywhere in the planet and gaining control over everything because, basically, they own the money now. Yeah. People, we haven't owned our money for a long time. Not since they took the gold, first the gold away, and then the silver, and took it out of the money. Then, from that point on, you don't own your money anymore. It's either digits in a bank, or it's bank notes that don't belong to you. They belong to, the Federal Reserve in America, but it all goes to the same money cabal, banking cabal, controlled by the Antichrist. But Eurasia. Yeah, that's where you have to have every global hegemon, as he puts it here. So they don't want to lose control over that pivotal landmass because that's where the bulk of the population of the earth is. Yeah. Starting with India, China, and all of Europe, or Western Europe, I should say. This causal connection between geography and power has not gone unnoticed by the global network of stakeholders representing the WEF, many of whom have anticipated the transition to a multipolar era and return to great power competition amid America's receding political and economic influence and a pressing need for what technocrats call smart globalization. So America is receding, that's true, and that's because the same globalists worked very hard to sell out America's industry and move it to Eurasia, especially the Eastern world, especially the East, where most of the population is. And that they have done, and they've stole it from us. They've ripped America off. America, whom God blessed, even though we had, a primarily small population, compared with the rest of the world, with the old world, both East and West, America was very, very rich, the richest and, but declining, receding, are the right words, definitely. And, what will it be like when we become Canada or Australia or New Zealand? Yeah. That's what America is becoming like. It's becoming like a crown colony. Yeah, but really run by the Jesuits out of Washington, D.C. It's where most of your legislation, I know that's where the Patriot Act came from. That's a matter of fact. And that's where the governor of California is from. Yeah, who he was trained by anyway. Yes, by the same shadow government, the army that works for the Antichrist. It's a political army. It's not an army that marches with weapons, but they do wield weapons, but not in their own hands. And that's fairly traditional for the Antichrist, that he doesn't wield the weapons personally. He just wields the armies of different nations. So that's what they do. China's economic ascent and Russia's regional ambitions threaten to upend the strategic axle points of Eurasia, Western Europe, and Asia Pacific. The region in which America previously enjoyed uncontested hegemony is no longer impervious to cracks, and we may be witnessing a changing of the guard, which dramatically alters the calculus of global force projection, especially if you put a tottering old man in charge of the nation that you're bringing down. I mean, because what a difference between, Trump and Biden, just in the perception of the nations of the world, made such a difference that we are where we are now. And it got, I don't even need to say anything about that. It's just all so obvious. Yeah, that the Antichrist had to get Trump out of there just because his projected image to the rest of the world was so much stronger than that Joe Biden. You know, love him or hate him, it doesn't matter. It is what it is, and it was what it was. And the difference is stark. Okay, let's see. Let's move on to number 7 here. With speculation mounting over the war's long-term impact on bilateral trade flows between China and Europe, the Russia-Ukraine conflict will catapult Israel, a leading advocate of the Great Reset. They don't believe in God. The only godly people in Israel are a minority Christians. Yeah. That rely on the blood of Jesus to save their souls. And they are an extreme minority. I'm sorry. You know, the Jews are not God's chosen people. The Jews were God's chosen people. Yeah. But they're not his chosen people any longer. Yeah. The only chosen Jews are those that have accepted the Messiah. And they are part of the elect. But anyway, as this article says here, with speculation mounting over the war's long-term impact on bilateral trade flows between China and Europe, the Russia-Ukraine conflict will catapult Israel, a leading advocate for the Great Reset, to even greater international prominence. Israel is a highly attractive BRI market for China, and the CCP is acutely aware of Israel's importance as a strategic outpost connecting the Indian Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea through the Gulf of the Suez. Furthermore, the Chinese government has for many years acknowledged the primacy of Israel as a global technology hub and capitalized on Israel's innovation capabilities to help meet its own strategic challenges. And just where did Israel get all this money to create all this wealth and this primacy as a global technology hub? I wonder where they got all that money from. Yeah. See, I don't even have to tell you, do I? Who's funded Israel for the last 50 years? Yes. So the New World Order elites, those, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, as well as parting out the wealth of America to China, has parted out the wealth of America to Israel. Yeah. For what? Well, as this article claims, that the Eurasia, is the place where you need to be if you're going to control the world. You have to control those markets. And so they've taken the wealth of America, which was the mightiest and wealthiest nation on the earth. I don't think we are anymore. And they've just redistributed that wealth over Eurasia. Yeah. Because, I mean, who funds NATO? Where did they get all the money to do for the UN? Which, for the most part, you know, all those nations are not over here in the Americas. They're over there in Eurasia. Exactly. There's a lot to be learned from this off-Guardian article. So, continuing on here, moving down to number 8. It is now common knowledge that digital IDs are the central plank in the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda and are to be streamlined across industries, supply chains, and markets as a way of advancing the UN 2030 SDGs and delivering individualized and integrated services in future smart cities. Well, that's a mouthful, but you get it. ID 2020, digital IDs, that's part of the UN agenda, and it's part of the Great Reset. And yes, and I have been fighting that for 20 years myself. More than that, actually. I started protesting the Mark of the Beast and the precursor to it in America, which, of course, was initiated by the Antichrist and his shadow government here, and, of course, as part of the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury more than 100 years ago. It's a long plan. Yes, they've been working the long plan. They have not been short-sighted. Many have cottoned on how much such a platform can be used to usher in a global system of technocratic population control and compliance by incorporating humanity into a new corporate value chain where citizens are mined as data, commodities for ESG investors and human capital bond markets, and assigned a social and climate score based on how well they measure up against the UN's SDGs. Sounds like fun, huh? You will own nothing, and you will be happy. That's all you need to remember, because this is far too complicated, but I'm sure they know what they're talking about. Yeah, but how do you like that? You could be part of the human capital bond market, and citizens are mined as data commodities. And it sounds like a wonderful future they have planned for us, right? You want to be a data commodity? Citizens. Yeah. Incorporating humanity into a new corporate value chain. Who comes up with this stuff? This seamless verification of people and connected devices and smart environments can only take place once our biometric health records, finances, education transcripts, consumer habits, carbon footprint, and the entire sum of human experiences is stored on an interoperable database to determine our conformity with the UN SDGs, thus forcing a monumental change to our social contract. Yeah, I don't remember signing any social contract myself. Vaccine passports, they go on to that. And it goes on and on. What an article. I'll put a link to this in the chat room here. And you guys, if anyone wants to read this thing, what a piece of work it is. Yeah. And I'll get to the next 2 points here quickly. Europe is directly in the line of fire once a hybrid war begins between NATO and Sino-Russia axis is underway. So apparently he believes, the author here believes they have a war planned. And once it's underway, and is it underway yet? Well, they haven't broken the NATO seal yet, but I can't believe all of the idiots in America that are pushing for them to do it. And today, I think there's even is that today? Today, maybe yesterday, supposed to be some Zoom thing with the president, the actor president of Ukraine, trying to drum up support for a no-fly zone. Or whatever. Yeah. I keep praying that this doesn't break out, but because, you know, I hate to see some kind of nuclear event and or war come out of this. But anyway, let's get to number 10, the final one here. And that'll wrap up this hour pretty much. The economic implications of this war will be so disastrous that governments and the public sector will require a significant injection of private capital to address the financing shortfall. Really, we need more money printed? Is that what he's saying here? That we haven't had enough money flooding and chasing too few goods as it is? This will effectively render the traditional separation of powers between central banking institutions and governments obsolete, as the former will be positioned to disproportionately influence the fiscal trajectory of nation states whose sovereignty will be hollowed out by the wholesale capture of governments by the central banks and hedge funds. And of course, the one, as the scripture reveals to us, the one that controls all the money. And that is the Antichrist of chapter 13, who will require everyone, small and great, free and bond, rich and poor, to have a mark to participate in the New World Order and the Mark of the Beast monetary system that is coming to into fruition. Well, you're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we will be back after the news, so don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Worldview Weekly Edition. We come here once a week, every Wednesday, and look at the news, items in the news, and as they relate to prophecy and the reality that we have to deal with these things. And we give that kind of worldview commentary on them. And what's so important, and why would I do this? Well, the rest of the week I'm go through the Bible, and right now this week I've taken a break from Isaiah. We will get back to it in a couple weeks, though, and continue it. And I jumped into the I believe I jumped into the Gospel of Mark, and so we're going to be doing the Gospel of Mark and a couple of other small epistles. In this and the next week, and then we'll pick back up with Isaiah. And that is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wednesday, this is what we do with our Worldview Weekly. And the idea is that we know what's going on in the world, that we're not overtaken by the propaganda that's out there because of the tyranny that is overtaking the world by the Antichrist. And of course, we know this has to be because we read prophecy, and we know at the end that the Antichrist regains control of the world, which he had of Western Europe for 1260 years. At the end, he regains, when that head wound that ended his 1260-year reign is healed, which it has been, that he eventually regains control over the whole world. And that's what we're talking about with this great reset and this one world monetary system. And that's how we know he regains control over the whole world, over the whole earth, I should say, and imposes his monetary system on it, the mark of the beast. And so when will the inquisitions begin to make sure that everyone is enrolled? That's the question. As soon as they possibly believe they can do it and get away with it, that's when it will begin. And they've set the date 2030. So, for that. And then they will begin, if they can, their Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. In some countries, they already have. In some countries, they don't. And some, you know, it's just people everywhere. Whoever doesn't serve God, and that's the point. If you haven't been born again, if you're not part of the elect of God, if His will isn't the most important thing in your life, and eternal life through Jesus Christ is not the goal of your mortal existence, then you're not part of the elect, and Satan already has you, and you will easily capitulate to the Antichrist and his shadow government and all of his operatives all over the world in whatever form they show up in whatever locality you're in. You will capitulate. But those that are the elect of God, well, they will not be able to capitulate to the Antichrist. They will have to resist even to the death, because there's nothing they can offer me or take away from me or threaten me with that will make me give up eternal life through Jesus Christ, that will make me trade in eternity for whatever they're offering me in this mortal plane, this mortal existence, which is coming to an end anyway. For every one of us, we have history. Everyone who's ever lived in the past has died within their generation. Even some people live to be 115 up to 120. But they died. And so will we if we live long enough or our life isn't ended sooner some other way. That we will die. So how could you trade in the promises of God, which last for eternity, for anything less than eternity? And they can't offer you that. So that's why we stand in Christ. You know, not because we're good enough, not because we're perfect and sinless, because we aren't. We rely on the sinlessness of Christ. We rely on the propitiation for our sins, his substitutional sacrifice, that he took our place so that when our mortal flesh is planted in the ground, that death will have no claim on us, because death will see the blood of Christ, the innocent blood of Christ. That's the gospel. That's what it's all about. His blood covers my sin and will free me from death. And nobody has offered me or can offer me anything greater or better than that, that comes with all of the promises of God. So that's why you need to be in God's word, so God can speak to you and strengthen you in all of the things that he has for those that love him. And there it is, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Because whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. And keep reading there. That's Romans 8:28. Okay, let's get back into some of this prophecy reality stuff. The CBDC. Yeah. You gotta learn how to say that. Central Bank Digital Currencies. It's all the news today. It's all over the place. CBDC. Yes, and you can see the symbols around here. Around this, you have the yuan, the euro, the dollar, the yen, whatever. Okay, the IMF is firmly on board for central bank digital currencies. I mean, do we really need to be told that? But that's the head of this article over here there at Technocracy News. And that is Patrick. Well, the guy's name is Patrick. Anyway, a wonderful brother in the Lord over there that runs Technocracy News. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is firmly on board, because all of these boards and stuff, they're all controlled. They all have different functions in the one world monetary system. And they're all on board for it. I mean, imagine that. You would have never thunk it, right? That they're on board for central bank digital currencies. And let's see, Patrick says, TN editor, Technocracy News editor, Patrick says, like vaccine passports and digital identity schemes, there's been zero public debate over central bank digital currencies as they are rolled out around the world. All global banking institutions like the IMF, World Bank, and Bank for International Settlements are pushing as hard as they can. Yes, nobody voted for this stuff. That's basically what he's saying, that this is being pressed on the world, impressed on the world without the consent of the people of the world. And yeah, it's Patrick Wood. That's his name, because he wrote Technocracy, the Hard World to, or the Hard Road to World Order, and several other books. Yeah. The move towards central bank digital currencies is gaining momentum, driven by the ingenuity of central banks. As a barrage of Western sanctions visits all manner of pain upon Russian economy, attention is turning in some quarters to potential ways of circumventing U.S. economic sanctions in the future. One potential weapon for defanging future sanctions is central bank digital currency networks. According to Lewis McKellen, the digital editor of Digital Monetary Institute of the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum. This is always coming up with a new, yes, CBDC, OMFIF. Who can remember all these things? It says cross-border central bank digital currency networks are in development across Asia, like the MCDDC bridge, which involves Thailand, Hong Kong, China, United Arab Emirates. Russia's central bank is working on a digital ruble, and Governor Elvira Nebiolina has expressed interest in its value as a means of facilitating cross-border payments, particularly with China. So, Beijing expands public testing of a digital yuan, and it marches on. IMF is firmly on board. Yes, it looks like the death of the dollar is what they're announcing here continually with this central bank digital currencies. And so they want, and basically they all have, we already have central bank digital currencies. Most people don't see money anymore except in digits on their accounts. And then they bring out their little plastic cards, and, or their, some people use their cell phones instead of cards, you know, whatever mode is preferable to them. And they are engaged in central bank digital currencies. You know, the central bank in America, of course, is the Fed. And it's not owned by the federal government, you'll notice. And it's pretty much the same in all the other countries of the world. Yeah. The central bank digital currencies, wherever they are. But there will be the one monetary system to rule them all, to bring them all together. And they really don't need to, do they? Yeah. Because they're already all together under one. All of these central bank digital currencies are really under one worldwide central government. And, of course, we know that that is under the control of the Antichrist and his shadow government, who will require everyone to receive an identification to participate in his monetary system. In the Bible, it's called the Mark of the Beast. Now, let's see what else we got here. This is from LouRockwell.com. It says, brace for food rationing. And the author of this article is, let's see, Forbidden Knowledge TV, Alexandra Bruce. It's clear that the Biden regime is committed to sadistically collapsing the United States. I agree. It seems clear to me. I mean, you know, it's either through bumbling idiocy or it's a plan. And I just think all they need is a bumbling idiot to carry out their plan. And that's what we have. So it seems that way to me. It's clear. Yeah. It's clear to me. with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, and Secretary Jennifer Granholm, all saying over the past week that the New World Order, or the New World, that the World War simmering, yes, the New World Order simmering in Ukraine will not derail the WEF's genocidal Green New Deal. It seems like we're not going to get away from that. Everywhere you turn, whatever piece of news I pick up here, it all kind of melds together and points in the same direction. This is the blueprint that they are impressing upon the world. Resist as much as you can. Yeah. They will continue to block U.S. energy independence and not restart U.S. energy production. Instead, buying from oil from Iran is now on the table. Complete upside-down world. Ice Age farmer Christian Westbrook is back with news about an inevitable front in this war, the engineered global food crisis. And, I started to watch this and then I ran out. Yeah.
My friends, welcome. Yeah. The mainstream media.
So you might want to check this, article out here. I'll put a link. This is at lourockwell.com, but I'll put a link for this in the chat room in case you want to dive deep into this. But, I'm taking this seriously, and I think you should take it seriously too. If you got a lawn, a side yard, a backyard, a front yard, plant some zucchini, plant some, potatoes, that bag of potatoes that's starting to sprout. Yeah. Here's what you do. You take that bag of potatoes that's starting to sprout, go out in your backyard, lay down some cardboard so it'll kill the weeds underneath, and then cut the potatoes with the sprouts on each piece of potato and lay them about, maybe a foot or 18 inches apart, a couple of them. So a couple of them will sprout in each place. And then cover that with some good soil on the cardboard. That'll keep the weeds from coming up and the potatoes going too deep. And voila! Guess what'll happen? Potatoes will start growing. So you got your first, the number one rule in survival crops is calories. That's potatoes. Yeah. And so now all you need to do is grow a little nutrition, some leafy green vegetables, some zucchini and other squash and other things that are easy to grow. You can use the same method. I just like the cardboard and the potting or growing soil on top, up to a foot of soil on top of it, mounded over the potatoes in the middle. It's because those root crops, you don't want to have a hard time digging them out, and that'll make them easy. And if it's really hot, you can mulch up around it and to keep the moisture in or whatever. But, you might think about doing things like this and just start out small and get bigger. Yeah, Dale says, look up Ice Age Farmer on YouTube. And let's see. Copy video, your copy. Yeah, let's do that. And here I'll put a link to this guy. He'll have some good ideas for you. And there'll be a lot of other things. This is on YouTube. But anyway, check that out after the broadcast. And then think about doing something. And starting, and so you can grow a little bit. And if everybody grows a little bit, you need a huge garden that you can't take care of and control and become overwhelmed with. Start with something you can control, a little one. And everyone does a little, it will help out a lot, because everyone doing a little bit can really add up. And at least we'll have some calories and some salad and vegetables and other nutritious stuff that you can eat right away. And if you grow too much, that's why I suggest potatoes and zucchini and stuff that's really easy to grow, because then you can give it to your neighbors. You can give it away or trade it for stuff you do need. Yeah. So that's something we need to do to take care of. So check out that article there at Lou Rockwell, Braced for Food Rationing, and or watch that video there, and maybe it'll motivate you. This is the time. It's March. We're all getting through our final freezes of the year this month, okay? And spring will be sprung upon us. So you want to get something in the ground as soon as you can, because these shortages are going to continue to grow, to show up. And Steve in the chat room says, eggs are easy to grow. I have lots of eggs. Every day I get, you know, I can get, yesterday I got, I think, like five or six eggs. The day before that, I got 14 eggs from my, like, 18 hens. and several roosters that, yeah. Anyway, so that you can do. And right now I just split my chicken yard in half because the chickens have prepared the soil for me. So I have this well weeded and prepared plot right next to my chicken yard, to plant my vegetables in this year. I can handle that, especially if I have no weeds and there are no weeds there. That's why I suggest the cardboard. If you're like, you can put that right, just knock it down, whatever's on the ground, as close as you can get to the soil with your weed eater. Get right down there and scrape it down. Put the cardboard on it. That'll keep the weeds from growing up through the cardboard. And then put your potatoes and mound your soil on that. You can do all your garden that way if you have soil and cardboard available. If not, you can do it the old-fashioned way. You could put cardboard down and put a hole, you know, get a post hole digger. Dig a post hole, and so I put fertilizer in there and first cover, put a piece of cardboard around it and put a hole in the middle of the cardboard and plant it in your prepared post hole. You can do simple things like that. It's not that hard, you know, and for all of you people who have PhDs. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You need a PhD to do this special kind of gardening. That's a post hole digger. Yeah, I like the old post hole digger method there too. That helps when planting trees and plants and yeah, and stuff like that can come in handy. That way you don't have to till up a whole yard. Cardboard will keep the weeds down around your plant. You'll have to pull up the ones that grow up through the hole, but that's a little easier because you've already loosened the soil there. If you pull them up right away, they come right out. Yeah. Little tricks you can learn. There you go. And, yeah, you better get some seeds though, if you don't have any. I have all my own seeds from previous years. So, and I can still buy more seeds if I want to. Let's see. Eggs are easy to grow. You can dehydrate eggs. What, you dehydrate the whole egg? Sounds funny to me. But there are other methods of keeping eggs for longer, too, that were used before they had refrigerators, and you can find out about those on YouTube videos that show you how to do that. I haven't done that yet because I have so many eggs, and I'm still using a refrigerator. Imagine that. But I do have battery backup. I can at least keep the refrigerator and the water pumping, if nothing else. I may have to use a fan to keep cool in the summer, but hey, we have water and a refrigerator. That's the basic, yeah, especially in the summer. Okay, let's see. What else do I have? Oh, yeah, I was looking at that article. Yeah, this article. Let's see. Christian says Egypt is desperately trying to bolster their food supply. The EU is doing the same thing. Is the U.S. trying to protect its citizens? No. Of course not. Joe Biden doesn't want you protected. He just wants you dead. That's right. So if the JAB don't kill you, if the transhuman jab don't kill you, then maybe he can starve you out. Yeah, I don't know. It's terrible when we have to have these feelings about the leaders in our government. These aren't our leaders. And you know, a lot of people, when they talk about the government's doing this and, oh, we're doing this and we're doing that. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. You know, maybe you are if you're part of them, but yeah, we got to stop identifying with them It is not a we when I talk about the U.S. government. It is a they. Okay, I'm going to go into a break here. We'll pick up here when we come back from these messages. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're just going through the news items and putting together the prophecy with the reality of what we're living through in these days. Also, I watched this video that was banned on YouTube, the Oliver Stone production, Ukraine on Fire. Very eye-opening if you want the truth about what's going on in the Ukraine today and what has been, which has a lot to do with what has been going on in the Ukraine for the last 10 years or so. Very informative. And it's there. It's free. You can find it somewhere. You can find this article at lourockwell.com. Ukraine on Fire 2016 documentary by Oliver Stone. So, like I said, I watched the complete thing. It was very eye-opening. Yeah, so make sure you check that out. Let's see, what else do we got here in our, Babylon Bee. Oh, yes. Babylon Bee, Guide to the Founding Fathers. Did you know that there exists a country called the United States of America that some people founded it? Yeah, well, let's see what that's about. Some people founded it. That's right. Whoops. But how do we know? But now we know you're wondering who those racist white men are. So were we until we looked them up on Wikipedia for you. Okay, well, that's got to be funny if you like the Babylon Bee. And let's see what else they got here. I thought I saw something. I'm not going to look at each article here. Ah, Babylon Bee Man of the Year. Yeah, isn't he a handsome fella? Man of the Year. Is Rachel Levine. There you go. Okay, I don't know about that one. Let's see. After watching Leah Thomas, little girl adjusts dreams to winning second place at Olympics. Because first place, of course, is won by a man these days. That's the idea there. Oh, I like this one. Yeah, I think this is my favorite one. Scientists discover tea tastes better when dumped out and replaced with coffee. Yeah, that's for me. See, Adam and Eve tell God that Putin made them eat the forbidden fruit. That's funny. See, Biden assures America that the buck stops with Putin. Yeah, that's what he told them. That's why your gas prices are higher. It's because of Putin. He's got somebody to blame. Finally. Yeah. Yeah, he's got someone to blame for everything he's done since he took office. Yeah. Okay. A little comic relief there. Let's see. What else do I got? I think we've looked at all of my articles already. Oh, no, there's one more. Yeah, and I looked this up. This was Rand Paul and press release from Senator Rand. Well, we might as well look at it directly from the horse's mouth here. Senate passes Dr. Rand Paul's resolution to repeal travel mask mandates. Uh-oh. That's strike-worthy. I'm just probably just saying that is strike-worthy for Google. Oh, man. What can we do? Your name and where are you calling from? Huh. There we go again. A long pause there. I think it's time for me to take a sip of this good coffee. Yes, I would throw out the tea and fill my cup with coffee. Okay. Introduces amendment. Oh, here it is. To eliminate Dr. Fauci's position as director of NIAID. No, that wasn't the article I was looking for. No. I clicked on the wrong one. Let me go back here. Rand Paul introduces amendment to eliminate. To oust Fauci. No, that wasn't what I was looking for. Dr. Fauci foe Rand Paul takes steps to eliminate dictator-in-chief job. That's what I saw. Oh, that's in Newsweek. So it's probably the same story. It's just worded differently. But yeah, to eliminate the dictator-in-chief job that Dr. Fauci has does need to be eliminated. And I hope, did that pass? It's a resolution. Don't we need more than a resolution? Don't we need a law? Don't we need another law to get rid of people like this guy? Yeah, to remove Dr. Fauci. Yeah, it's the same article, but that's the idea. Anyway, it seemed like a good idea to me to eliminate the dictator-in-chief position. And would Donald Trump listen to him again? Yeah. Let's see. Let me check the chat room here. Let's have an A33-4. I now don't know what that means, Dale. Levine. Okay, don't know what that means. Ruth from the Netherlands says, cucumbers have tripled in price at least in 1 week. You know, cucumbers are easy to grow, Ruth. So make sure you plant some cucumbers. I know you got to pay the high prices until winter passes, but you can grow cucumbers really easily in a small space. So yeah, cucumbers. I'm going to plant me some cucumbers. Yeah, I like those Armenian cucumbers. They have ridges like ruffles. Anyway, I like those. But they still taste like cucumbers though. And my chickens love them because they just grow so prolifically that I can't eat them all or give them all away. So I just throw them over into the chicken coop. I throw them high in the air, and then when they land on the ground, they just kind of explode into pieces like, yeah, and then the chickens just have a feast. And then they give me eggs. And people always take eggs, yeah. You could probably sell eggs, too, if you have enough of them. Okay, well, let's see. What else do we have here in our mailbox or in the chat room? Nothing else in the chat room here to... Let's see. I'll excuse something, my connection. Okay. Eggs are easy to grow. Okay, can't say... yeah, I know what that means. Transmaster. Yeah, okay. enough looking at the chat room. The Supreme Court uses twistic logic to protect U.S. agents committing torture. Yeah, well, what is the Supreme Court made up of? What kind of people are these people? I think they're mostly Catholic. They got a couple of atheist Jews on there. And I think they only have one guy on there, and that is Clarence Thomas. That, you know, I wish we had 10 Clarence Thomases on the Supreme Court. Yeah, then we might have some hope, but no Protestants. I guess, is Clarence Thomas a Protestant or not? Anyway, let's check out this article, see what their logic says. Let's see, the Supreme Court declared last week that Americans have no right to learn the grisly details of CIA torture because the CIA has never formally confessed its crimes. The verdict symbolizes how the rule of law has become little more than a form of legal mumbo-jumbo to shroud official crimes. Why should anyone expect justice from a Supreme Court that covers up torture? In 2002, the CIA captured Abu Zubaydah, a Palestinian radical in Pakistan, mistakenly believing he was a kingpin with Al-Qaeda. The CIA tortured him for years in Thailand and Poland, and dissenting Justice Neil Gorsuch noted the CIA waterboarded Zubaydah at least 80 times, simulating live burials in coffins for hundreds of hours, and brutalized him to keep him awake for 6 days in a row. The CIA has admitted some of the details, and Zubaydah's name was mentioned more than 1,000 times in a 683-page Senate report on the torture regime released in 2014. This case turned on the invocation of a holy bureaucratic relic of dubious origin, state secrets. As the court's 6-3 ruling, written by Justice Breyer, noted, to assert the state secrets privilege, the government must submit to the court a formal claim of privilege lodged by the head of the diplomatic reluctance to intrude upon authority of executive, military, and national security affairs, Breyer wrote. And the most important role for the Supreme Court nowadays is apparently to sanctify the privileges it has awarded federal agencies that committed crime sprees. The court upheld a state secrets claim to Zubaydah's lawyers and serving subpoenas on the psychologist masterminds of the CIA torture program to learn the details of his interrogation in Poland. The court's ruling also blocks Polish investigators seeking information about the crimes committed at CIA torture site in their nation. Now, the CIA, who invented this and who runs this operation? It seems to be an international agency, since they're working in Poland and all over the world, but they just get their money from America. Is that right? Yeah. How deep is the trough here that even while we're borrowing trillions of dollars every year, we can still send hundreds of millions or a couple billion, 10 billion over to the Ukraine to help them in their war, which they instigated with the help of the U.S., the war with Russia. It was like, you know, bring it down, bring America down by any means possible. And the CIA, Tom Fress calls them Catholics in action, although while they're not your normal everyday Catholic that goes to church on Sunday and visits the priest once in a while for absolution and eats a cookie now and then goes about his regular business the rest of the way. These people are committed, much like the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. I believe they are part of the shadow government. The CIA is part of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. By the things that they do, you know, they pretty much give themselves away. So the Supreme Court took an Alice in Wonderland approach, ruling that sometimes information that's entered the public domain may nonetheless fall within the scope of this state secrets privilege. Okay. The court, in this decision, Justice Breyer wrote, obviously the court condones neither terrorism nor torture, but in this case, we are required to decide only a narrow, evidently, an evidentiary dispute. But the Supreme Court condones any crime it helps to cover up. The court's sweeping rulings on state secrets and sovereign immunity have provided a get-out-of-jail-free card for Bush-era torturers and the makers of torture. And goes on. Gorsuch noted that the Supreme Court created the doctrine in a 1953 case in which the Pentagon claimed state secrets to cover up the details of an Air Force crash. Half a century later, the government declassified the official report, which contained no national secrets, but proved that gross negligence caused the crash, which killed three people. State secrets is akin to a fraudulent religious miracle that was not exposed until after it became canonized. Yeah. And is there a dissenting opinion here on this? Because I'd love to hear the dissenting, since it was a six to three, but they're not giving me a dissenting opinion in this article. And I always like the dissenting opinions much more, because those are the ones I usually agree with. Yeah, because I don't even need to get into it. But who are the members of the Supreme Court? Yeah, got to figure out how to change my search engine on here now. And I need a new search engine. Any suggestions out there in the chat room? Since DuckDuckGo is now jumped into the lane with, they've jumped on the whole Ukraine narrative, yeah, and anti-Russia narrative. For me, I'm not anti-Russia or anti-Ukraine, but I'm not pro-Ukraine or pro-Russia. I'm not pro anybody or anything. I'm not going to take one side against the other. I'm pro kingdom of God. Yeah, that's it. And the kingdoms of this world are all coming to their end. And we're getting very close, people. Yeah, you can pretty much take that to the bank. We're getting very close. And it's becoming so obvious that that the prophecy is becoming fulfilled. And I've spent many years studying that and going over that. And I've got books I've written, hundreds, thousands of hours of broadcasts that I've done outlining that. And they're all there. And if I weren't so shadow banned, more people would know about it. Yeah, that's the truth. But, you know, maybe everybody isn't supposed to know about it. Maybe very few are supposed to know the truth, because most people can't see the truth, even if it's in their face. And that's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate to me, I think. But God knows what he's doing. And so if only, you know, 300 or 400 people watch my broadcast every week, well, that's fine. Those are the 300 or 400 people who are supposed to watch it. Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that. Okay, so plan a garden. That's what you can do. Read God's word. Yeah, go through Isaiah with me. And or read it yourself. Just the judgments that God brought on the nations in that era, when you start reading, say, the first 20 chapters of Isaiah. And if you can't understand, I've been using Matthew Henry, because I'll tell you what, to read something like Isaiah, I need help, because he knows who all the characters are, all the nations are, and what all the references that are foreign to me refer to. So Matthew Henry, you can get that free with your e-sword.net program. Just download it. You'll get the authorized King James Version that comes with the Strong's Concordance. That's really all you need. All of the other versions and things you can add on are merely a curiosity as far as I'm concerned, or for study, you know, because sometimes it's good to know what the new fangled English versions say and how they've changed the Word of God. And that way you know what other people are reading when you tell them something and it's totally foreign to them because their Bible says something totally different. and where the two things both can't be true. It's not just two interpretations of the same thing. It's two different things altogether in some cases, which if one is true, the other can't be. They eliminate each other. So then you have to make your decision. Well, which version is true? Well, I'm going with the authorized King James Version there. And I realized the time and the era in which it was written. And you take all of those things into account, but you can peer into the original languages. And if you want to learn how to use those tools, and without the Holy Spirit, you got nothing anyway, no matter what version you're using. You can always find the gospel. But if you want to go in deep, you don't want to keep using those newfangled English versions out there that have the fingerprint of the Jesuits on them. They do. Yeah, they absolutely do. So, take care of business. Like I said, get your guard going. Watch that video. Whether you're in Detroit, yes, you know who I'm speaking to, or in the Netherlands, or Amsterdam. We got Georgia. We got Texas, Ohio, North Holland, Ohio, some people keep Pompano Beach, Florida. Yeah, see what else we got here. Well, that's all I have on the recents. My recent list is only 10 long, so some people have dropped off. But yeah, wherever you're at, yeah, you can plant something. Just find out what grows really easy in your area. If you're not used to garden, you want to go for the easy stuff first. And some things it's hard to not grow. So, okay. Well, I'm just about out of time here. Make sure you go to my website. That's crosstheborder.org is a shortcut there, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And make sure that you subscribe there. And there's a picture of my website on the screen there. I have a lot of interesting articles. You can check out my books. You can get some of the books free. If you go to the free ebook tab there, and you can get the Abraham Accord free, or the Rapture Will Be Canceled free. Those are the two I'm giving away free. The Abraham Accord is my updated version. My updated version of the when the third temple is built. Yeah. So I updated it with the Abraham Accord. And you can get that free. Just follow the instructions there. Okay? So that's across the nicholasarthur.wordpress.com/free-e-book. But yeah, check it out. I guess that's it. Today, I got like seconds left here. So make sure you do that. And then share when you find an interesting article there, which I'm sure you will, make sure that you share that with as many people as possible. You can either send me $1 million or $100 or $10, whatever you got. Doesn't matter to me. A silver coin, a gold coin, don't matter. Whatever the Lord has you send, or you can just share things with other people, because most of you are as poor as I am, maybe poorer than I am. Yeah. So that's the least you can do. Well, that's the indication that we have run out of time. So my blessing upon you all. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.